Continuous integration is pretty cool, but taking it one step further with continuous deployment is even better. Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to continue down the AppVeya conveyor. We're going to see what it takes to convert our continuous integration into something a little bit cooler. So take it away.
So in the last episode, we looked at setting up AppVeya to do this continuous integration build, and that's the one that I have this nice little badge here on my GitHub repo showing that the build is passing. And so it was doing just a basic, you know, compile and run the unit tests for any commit to any branch. And also anytime anybody submitted a pull request, it would pull the code down from that pull request and do the build and run the unit tests, make sure that it was passing and give us that feedback within the GitHub UI where it would say, you know, the build passed. You get the little check mark saying that that pull request has passed. So that was this little guy over here. If we look at a past one that didn't fail. So we got these little check marks saying that the build, AppVeya build succeeded. So that's pretty cool. And if we look at the documentation here on AppVeya, they kind of have a description of what their standard pipeline might, a standard build pipeline might be. So you start with, you know, any initialization scripts, and you pull down your code, you clone the repo. You do a build, that's your compilation, you run your unit tests. That's kind of where we stopped last time.
And so that's enough to get you to continuous integration.
Right there. Yeah. So what we're going to look at today then is these next two steps where we package it up. So it's grabbing any artifacts that we built. In our case, I'm building a sample website. So the website is the artifact. After calling .NET publish, it creates that website that is ready to send up to a web server somewhere. And then the deployment, which is that step of sending it to a web server somewhere. So that is what we're going to look at. And the way I did that over here is I created a second build definition. So this was my CI build here, and then this is the one that's going to do the deployment. And the reason I wanted to do it as two separate builds is that I don't want this deployment build happening all the time. So I don't want it happening on pull requests. I don't want that to push up to my website. It's only the things that get, like the pull requests that I accept and merge into master. So any code that gets checked into master, I want that to trigger this build, which will do all of the steps now. So it will compile, run the tests, package up the artifacts, and then deploy it to the server. So the way I did that is if we go into the settings here, so this is somewhere where I kind of got tripped up and lost a bit of time, is that I was under the mistaken, or I was mistaken. I thought that you could either configure, let's step back for a sec. AppVeya had these two different ways to configure builds. There was the appvayer.yaml file, and then there's the UI where you can go and set all your settings for a build. And I thought that you could basically just override certain things through the UI so that you would start with your YAML file and then make changes through the UI and those would somehow get merged together. But as it turns out, if you read the documentation, it's very clear that these two options are mutually exclusive. So you're either fully YAML or you're fully UI. There's no kind of mix of the two.
So it's not like you get with Azure websites where you get like the deployment file, the web config, and then you can override that with settings.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's probably where I got the idea in the first place. But,
yeah, it makes sense though.
But that's not how it works. So it's helpful to know that, as it turns out, when you're trying to make this work. So under the general settings here is where you kind of tell it what to do. So either you're using appvayer.yaml, which is kind of the default, or you can tell it to ignore it, in which case it will use everything that you set up through the UI. Or you can tell it here to use a custom one. So this is where I told it use appvayer-deploy.yaml. So that's the one that's going to have all the information in it to tell it how to do my deployment, my continuous deployment pipeline. And if we look at that file over here in my repo. It's mostly the same as my CI build, but the first difference here is up at the top. So I'm telling it only do this for the master branch. So that's how it knows to just basically ignore anything that happens on other branches or any pull requests that happen. We only do this. This only gets triggered for branches that happen on, or commits that happen to master. And further down then, so this is all the same. And then down here, we have the artifacts. So here we're telling it, when we do the .NET publish, this is basically the folder where that all gets dumped out to. So we're saying everything in that folder, that's the artifact that I want. I'm going to call it my website, and the type is a web deploy package. So it just takes that, zips it up into a zip file, and uploads it to whatever magic place it is that AppAir stores these things for you. And then the deployment step, it's telling it the provider's environment, so that's an AppAir thing. And it's saying just push it to an environment called Tag Helper Samples Production, which is just an environment that I defined in AppAir, which we can come and have a look at now. So over here, we were looking at projects before, those are my builds. And then environments are the places that I can push my artifacts up to. So in this case, it's an Azure website. And what I did is I just, I downloaded my little web deploy publish settings from the Azure portal for that website and just plugged in all the values here that it was asking me for. So the server, the website name, the username, and the password. And then we just tell it that it's an ASP.NET Core application. And there's some other options here, which I didn't need to use in this case, but you can tell it to skip certain files or directories. There's pre and post sync commands, so before and something to do before and after you do the commits or the web deployment. So this would be where you might hook into, if you had custom scripts that you were using to do maybe database upgrades, updates, to apply database update scripts, you might do that here. And then finally, you can even configure all your environment variables here. So if you had different connection strings for different environments, you could specify them here. So that's the environment. And basically, when my build finishes, if everything was successful, it just takes those artifacts that it built and pushes it up to this web deploy environment, which then pushes it up to Azure. You can also set up notifications and permissions so that certain people within your organization might have rights to come in here and make changes to a particular environment. Now the neat thing about this is, so I didn't have to use the environments concept. What I could have done back in my project here is defined, and I'll just show it through the UI, but I would have done it through the YAML file. For the deployment here, instead of selecting environment and pushing it through this environment concept, I could have done all the web deploy configuration right here. So that would have been all inline, defined as part of my project. The one thing I wasn't a big fan of with that is that all my web deploy configuration had to go in here, which is checked into my source control.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So
you don't want to do that.
It seems to be okay because anybody who looks at your website can guess everything except for the password for that web deploy piece, because it's just the name of the website is the name of the SCM site that has the web deploy piece on it, and the username is easy to guess. They actually encrypt the password in here for you.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. So it's like, I'm not exactly sure how they're doing that, but it's not the actual password that gets checked in here. It's an encrypted something that AppAir is able to understand. So I think in theory, then only AppAir actually knows your password, but it still didn't feel great to me to check it into here. So I kind of preferred the environment thing, but that was one piece of it. But the other thing that I really liked with doing the environments here is that you also have this option with an environment to come in here and I can actually create a new deployment manually. So these are all the deployments that happen automatically as part of my builds, but I can come in here and click New Deployment. And I can tell that I want to deploy from this build, so that's the my continuous deployment build. And I can go back and let's say something went wrong here and it's not working, and I don't really have time to fix the code right away. I can actually roll back to a previous build by just selecting that build and saying deploy. And then that would trigger a web deploy and push that up to Azure for me. So that's super useful. And it's useful in the rollback scenario, and it's also useful in if we had multiple environments here. This is just a sample app that I'm pushing up to a little Azure website that people can look at. It's not like a real mission critical system of any sort, but you know, a typical business environment or business app, you probably have at least a test and or a staging and a production environment. So you might have your continuous deployment pushing always to stage to your test or staging environment, and somebody does some manual testings, and then when they're happy with that, once it passes the quality metrics or whatever you're using, then somebody might come in here and go to the production deployment and then kind of promote that build over to production. So it's kind of a nice way of setting it up, I think. Gives you some good flexibility, and they seem to have good controls in place for it, so pretty happy with how they set it up.
Yeah, this whole thing seems to be really kind of well thought out and minimalist, that mm-hmm. there's not like a huge amount of stuff in here. Maybe there's some advanced deployment scenarios that you couldn't do with this, but I don't see anything that for a normal project I would be concerned about missing.
Yeah, so far there hasn't been anything jumping out at me as, yeah, like I wouldn't be able to support whatever projects I work on using this system. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of been my adventure in App Fair so far. The next piece I want to do, so that this was continuous deployment to a website. The other piece that I want to do now is this sample project also, the other output of it that I'm not capturing yet through AppFair is there's actually three NuGet packages that get created here. So there's tag-helper-samples.bootstrap.markdown and another one that isn't listed. I would like to also have an AppFair build that produces as artifacts those NuGet packages and then pushes them up to NuGet. So that's all built into AppFair too. But I don't want to do it continuously, at least not to NuGet itself. You might do for every check-in to master, you might do that going out to MyGet as like a nightly build kind of scenario. But what you probably want to do is have the releases to the push to NuGet itself, the official packages as part of a release. So there's a concept in AppFair of having the build only apply to a commit that has a certain tag on it or something to that effect. And I haven't played around with it a whole lot yet, but it looks like it supports that concept of when I create a release inside of in my GitHub repo here, when I tag a release, that would trigger a build that could go and automatically push everything to NuGet for me.
So they would make that easy. That'd be nice to have. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the next step. Not sure when I'll get there, but we'll see.
Great. Well, that was very interesting. Thanks so much for sharing that. So for those people who have continued to watch this long, thank you so much for joining us. Please remember to like, comment, and share the video. There's a place for comments right down there. We read every comment, and if you have a question and we answer it on air, we'll send you a snazzy-looking ASP.NET Monsters sticker. So we hope to see everybody next time on the ASP.NET Monsters.
Bye.
You're next.